Again, we will say Happy Mother's Day. A six-year-old boy realized that he was separated from his mother in the supermarket, and he began to call frantically for Martha, Martha, which of course was his mother's name. She came running up to him quickly and said, "But honey, you shouldn't call me Martha. I'm mother to you." "Yes, I know," he answered, "but this store is full of mothers. Our world is full of mothers. But in most cases, we have only one mother who is special. And there's no one like our mothers, and no one can take their place." So Happy Mother's Day will be heard many times today, and spoken with good intent and with good reason. A famous quote says, "Mothers hold their children's hands for a short time. They hold their hearts forever." The Bible does tell us to honor our father and mother in both the Old and the New Testaments. Exodus 20 and verse 12, for example, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Exodus 20 and verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Mother's Day is one befitting way to give honor to our mothers. Did you know that Mother's Day is third only to Christmas and Easter in church attendance? And why is that? Maybe because every loving Christian mother explains to their children that the one thing that will bring them the most joy on that day is for their children to join them in worship. What will you do today to help your mother have a good day? Will you give her gifts? Will you take her out to eat so that she will not have to cook? Did you get her a pretty card? How about flowers? Well, here's a question. Why does it have to be just one day? What would it take from her children to make a Christian mother happy every day? So this morning, this is a study of how we can honor and bring joy to our mothers every day, not just one day a year. For those mothers, those whose mothers have gone on into eternity, these are things that can still be considered in their memory and in their honor. Let's get started. Number one, respect her wisdom. Respect her wisdom. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Proverbs 15 and verse 20. "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." In Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death." Well, no mother is perfect, and no mother is always right about everything. But she has lived longer than you and has gained a lot of wisdom by experience that may not be appreciated for many years to come. However, if she is a serious student of God's word, her wisdom will not be her own, but the Lord's. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 2 beginning, "I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, we would pronounce that last name as Eunice, most likely, but if you go back and look, you will find that it was pronounced Eunice. But the point here is this. Don't you know that every thought of Timothy brought joy to the heart of both his mother and his grandmother? Paul said he had an unfeigned, which means an unpretended faith, the same faith that existed in both his mother and his grandmother. So we respect their wisdom. Number two, we need to remember her priorities. She prepared for her family. She sought out a husband who would help take her children to heaven. Is that the kind of man, people would ask? Is that a young lady? Is this the kind of man that you would want to be the father of your children? Ladies, that's a question that needs to be asked. We think about Jochebed in the Old Testament. She entered into a good marriage. She and Amram were both of the tribe of Levi. Hence, they had a common interest and a common commitment. That's Exodus 2, verses 1 through 6. This fact would become invaluable as they shared the difficulties of life together. For even moving into a foreign land did not deter their determination to remain faithful. Hannah also possessed some prime ingredients for successful motherhood. She wanted children, unlike some today. Her determination was seen in her perseverance and in her prayers. In 1 Samuel 1 and verse 8, we are informed that her husband loved her with or without children. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Eli the priest mistook her determination for intoxication. But once she explained that she was praying and she explained her request, Eli said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. 1 Samuel 1:13-17. She was wise in her priorities, dedicating her son to the Lord. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in Israel. Don't you know that that made her happy every single day, not just one day a year? What about persistence? Their persistence in faith and practice. These women placed God's will above all else. Jochebed protected her baby even though Pharaoh said kill him. Mary, along with her husband Joseph, protected the Christ child from Herod, who wanted to kill him. There is nothing that a godly mother will not do to save the life of an innocent child, though not everyone today feels that way. Mary offered a sacrifice after the birth of Jesus. Luke 2:27 says, after the custom of the law. We're going back to her persistence in faith and practice. She went to the temple when Jesus was 12, after the custom of the feast, Luke 2:42, which was found in the law. Well, did this pattern of faithfulness rub off on her son Jesus? The Bible says in Luke 4 and verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You see, Mary had taken her faith and her responsibility seriously, and it was not lost on Jesus. How can our children take us seriously when we're not faithful? Mary was also there for her child when he had been abandoned by almost all others. How it must have hurt Mary on that crucifixion day. But she stood by Jesus to the end. John 19:25 says this, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. You see, a mother's natural affection will be there when all other humans forsake you. Number three, we need to recall her perception. Not only do mothers seem to have eyes in the back of their heads, they also seem to be good judges of character. The problem is that when we were growing up, we thought we knew everything about everybody, and we all wanted to pick our own friends. Mothers have kept their children, however, out of a lot of difficulties by saying no to an overnight stay visit or to a party or to some other sketchy situation. Though we may have been insulted by our mother's unpopular decision, we've usually found out that mother was right. So number four, we need to recognize her provision. This is found in Proverbs 31. You see, this mother is not guilty of vanity parenting. She's not trying to keep up with everyone else or trying to be better than anyone else. Her work for her family is an act of love. A mother may have worked two or more jobs just so her children would not do without. Or she may have worked hard on the farm with her hands, and with hands that were tender enough to mend clothes and to wipe away tears. but tough enough to split firewood and mend a barbed wire fence. Whatever it took to have a safe home and a happy home. A grandmother was telling her granddaughter goodnight when the little girl said, "Mommy and Daddy are entertaining some very important people downstairs." "You're right," Grandma agreed, "but how did you know?" "Just listen," the little granddaughter said. "Mommy is laughing at all of Daddy's jokes." You know, Solomon wrote, "A cheerful heart is good medicine," Proverbs 17 and verse 22. And when there is a lot of laughter in the home, someone is putting out some pretty good medicine. She always puts others first. And we read this in Proverbs 31. We won't go through all of this morning, but read that when you have time. And we'll notice a few verses in just a moment. But mothers always put others first, don't they? A school teacher asked James in math class, "James, suppose your mother made a cherry pie, and there were 10 of you at the table, your mother, your father, and 8 children. How much of the pie would you get?" "A ninth," was his answer. No, James, pay attention. There are 10 of you in the home. Don't you know your fractions?" "Yes, ma'am," he said. "I know my fractions, but I know my mother even better, and she'd say that she didn't want any pie." Well, how true that is. The unselfishness of a mother shows a heart of love for her family that her children will not forget. So then turn, if you would, to Proverbs 31, and let's do notice verses 37 and following. I'm sorry, verse 27 and following. It says of this virtuous woman, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." The happy mother, or the happy Christian mother, is the woman who sees all of her years of love and devotion to her children pay off when her children follow in her footsteps. And when a mother sees that, she's not happy just one day of the year, but every day. So celebrate her, or remember her today, but live so that she can be happy always. Proverbs 23 was our text this morning. Verse 22. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." How have you responded to the upbringing that you received from your mother? Have you noticed her faith? Have you recognized her faith and the life that she has lived, showing you that she really believed what she taught? It might be this morning that a son or a daughter is here who has never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, even though mother has begged and pleaded and prayed for that for many, many years. I would be the first person to tell you to never pretend to obey the gospel just to make your mother happy. That's not what it's all about. We would encourage you to obey the gospel this morning because of the need for your own soul's salvation. You do it for you. But in doing that, don't you know what joy it would bring to that mother who raised you and who taught you and who prays for you? If you have never obeyed the gospel, do it. Do it because of the love that God has shown to you. Not just for your mother, but know that your mother will rejoice with you. Because it will show that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, a faith that we all must have, John 8:24. And that you're willing to repent of sin, as we're all commanded to do, Acts 17 and verse 30. And that you're willing to be baptized into Christ, to have all past sins washed away, so that you can rise up to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, and a happy life, and a life that blesses not only yourself, but also blesses your mother and your father. If you've never done that, we would encourage you to do that. If we can help, would you come as we stand and as we sing?